Let's see what the stew has for us today.
Welcome to the Gnomecast, the Gnome Stew's tabletop gaming advice podcast. Here we talk with the other gnomes about gaming things to avoid becoming part of the stew, so I guess we'd better be good. This episode is brought to you by our awesome Patreon backers like the excellent Eric Heimel, the classic Craig Dedrick, and the stupendous Sam Groton. Today we have Chris and myself, Ange, and hey, did you know, Chris, that this is our 50th episode of the Gnomecast?
50 episodes? That's crazy.
50 episodes!
Insane. Just insane.
I mean, I don't... It happened. We hit it. 50.
I'm impressed, right? It's very impressive.
Since I also happen to be coming up on an auspicious birthday within the next 6 months that also includes some of those particular numbers, I figured we could talk about how we started gaming as kids, but eventually came to realize this was going to be a hobby for life.
Wait a minute. You're saying that you're going to be 30 years old plus 20 days, right? Because that's 50.
You're sweet.
I try. I mean, you don't look a day over 30, Ange.
Actually, it was a very sad day when people stopped guessing I was in my 20s.
Aww.
And started guessing I was in my 30s, because I do look pretty young compared to what my age actually is. So it was like, oh, wait, you don't think I'm in my 20s anymore? Okay. Now, before we dive into this main topic, let's ask our Get to Know a Gnome question. Who was your favorite kid character that you've ever played? Anyone considered a teenager younger is viable as an answer.
So, unfortunately, I can't think of any that stick out. And I've played Tales from the Loop a couple of times, but it's not that the characters weren't interesting. It's just that one-shot characters don't tend to stick with me very often. So mm-hmm. I don't have any like teenager or kid characters that I can point to or that are like, those are my favorite characters that I've ever played that were teenagers or kids.
You had Mateus?
That was the popular kid that was smart, maybe? I don't remember.
No. The masks thing we were trying to do for a while.
Oh, he was cool. Yeah, he was neat. I liked him a lot, actually. He was an interesting character. And strangely enough, the one that... I guess if there was one... I played a Tales from the Loop game with Lil Francis at Origins a couple of years ago. And I remember that character being interesting to play. He was like the nerdy kid that was pretty young. But I can't remember what his name was. But I remember the story. The story was fascinating.
That's always frustrating when you remember a game and then you're like, who was my character? I can't remember their name.
Yeah, I remember the story. I just don't remember the character's name, right? Like, and it was a cool story and there were some really fun interactions that were had with other characters, but it was a one shot, so it was pretty ephemeral. But
yeah.
Mateus is by far probably the most interesting character that I've played over the course of a period of time.
He was fun. He was a nice, interesting mix of Like if Doctor Strange was being played, you know, a teenager like Spider-Man.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
What about you?
I've done a lot of teenage characters. I mean, one of my early go-to games when I was in college was a total ripoff on the New Mutants with, you know, the serial numbers filed off because we were kids living in a boarding school. And then I'm always drawn to games where you play kids. I think probably my standout is Raleigh. Raleigh was a teenager mutant with superpowers. She was a teleporter. And just she had a long run in kind of a loosely connected series of one-shots. And she stands out as probably my favorite character. But she also, because that game... You know, the characters were allowed to grow up. She's in her 20s now, so I can't really consider her a kid anymore, but she started as a teenager.
That's really cool.
How young were you when you started playing?
I was 11 when I started playing role-playing games. The first one I ever played was Gamma World, which is as a one-shot at a friend's cabin by a lake. Before that, I played a ton of HeroQuest, but that's a board game / role-playing game.
It's a good gateway, though.
Oh, it was such a good gateway. And I don't mean I played some HeroQuest. I mean, I played the initial box has like 16 dungeons in it that you play through. And then I played through three of the expansion packs. So I played like 46 HeroQuest missions.
That's really cool.
I had those characters for a very long time. They had all sorts of gear and whatnot. Like, you didn't level up in that game, but you got stuff. And I had lots of cool stuff. And I lost some characters over time. It was very sad. I remember the ice, there's the ice cavern one, and I totally lost my dwarf who I had had for like 37 missions or something like that. Like, and he died, Durgin the dwarf, and I was very sad. But it was fighting the big bad end guy, so it was kind of neat.
So you got to experience character death in RPGs before you were actually playing RPGs.
Yeah, well, we played the first session wrong. The first game that we played of that, we played it incorrectly. And I lost like three characters in that, or two characters in that first game. I didn't lose a character after that. What about you? When did you first start playing role-playing games?
I was probably I was a little older. I was 17. I was aware of D&D, but wasn't brave enough to try and insert myself into the D&D club slash group in my high school. So it kind of took me meeting somebody new who had transferred into my school for the last year to basically be like, do you want to try D&D? Yes. Yes, I do. And so he kind of dragged me into it. But I had been like, I'd never done HeroQuest or anything like that, but I had been reading, like devouring, you know, fantasy fiction and all that stuff leading up to getting invited into that D&D game. Now, at what point did you kind of realize that this wasn't just going to be a kid's game, that this was going to be a hobby for life?
Oh, man, it's a kind of a crazy question to ask me, because I've been playing these games on and off for such a long time. Although I suppose the age that I really knew that, like, I was never going to stop playing games like this was when I was 27. Mm-hmm. And I joined up with a group called the Buffalo Gamer Society, which started out as like 20 members like over a decade ago, and ended up, it's like a 1,000-person organization at this point. And I started playing in a weekly D&D game and then running a weekly D&D game. And then after that, like, I started organizing events at colleges and whatnot. And then shortly a few years after that, started a podcast about games. So I'm pretty sure it was that time in my life was the time that it really took hold.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, I guess I kind of looked at it as like a college thing almost, you know, because it's, you know, I started in late high school. I continued playing when I went into college. When my original GM joined the Army Reserves and disappeared for 6 months, I went and found another group to play with at college. And even though we weren't in college anymore, we were still playing occasionally, and there was still always talk about role-playing games, but people became less interested in actually organizing things. We were very much kind of hindered by the idea that the GM had to be special. They had to have special skills. So a lot of people in that group weren't able or willing to step up and run games. So when the people who could run them didn't want to or flaked out on them, the games just died. So in the 90s, I went through probably the last game with that group was in 93, 94, maybe a little after that. And I didn't have any face-to-face gaming for the rest of the 90s.
Man.
I had online gaming. I found like MUDs and MUSHes and stuff, which kind of filled that gap in my life. But it was, I'd say, the early 2000s when all of a sudden it hit me that I really, really wanted gaming in my life, that I needed to make this happen. And I went out and I found people locally to play with. And that's, I think, at the point when I realized, no, this is not just a once in a while kid thing. This is not just a hobby for college. This is something I want to keep doing for the rest of my life.
That's really cool. Like, I mean, it's always good to find the thing that you're passionate about and, yeah, you know, realize that that's a thing that you want to do that'll make you happy for a very long time.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, that reaching out to find a group could have gone seriously awry, because the GM of that first game I tried was all the things that we're working to fight against nowadays. You know, he was creepy. He hit on me. He was just awful on so many levels. But the players in that game were fantastic, and we all defected and formed our own group.
See, that's smart, right? Like, find the people that are really fun to play with and just keep playing games with them.
Yeah. And also, that group was the one that was like, what do you mean you can't run a game? Of course you can run a game. When are you going to run a game for us? And like, that's actually the start of why I'm kind of here today.
Yeah, that's how that works, right? Like, just get in there and do it.
So has your taste in gaming changed since when you were a kid?
I'm not necessarily sure it really has. So when we were really young and playing second edition D&D, and that's, you know, I say when I was really young. I mean, there are people out there who are like, that's not really young. I was like in my 30s when I was playing second edition D&D. Like, yes, I get it. I get it. That is your experiences. My experience is that I was young at that point in time playing second edition D&D. We didn't play it quite right. And I've always played it with more of a storytelling bent to it. So like, I mean, these days I'm more interested in how the rules actually affect storytelling, but like we ignored a lot of stuff back then. So, I mean, but to play games the way that I'm playing them now. So I don't know if my preference or taste in games has changed, because I still really like action stuff and pulpy stuff. Mm-hmm. And by pulpy, I mean two-fisted stuff. And even within that stuff, within those kinds of games, I like having dramatic moments also. So it's really cool to see games that have mechanisms for that stuff to bring it up and play instead of just having to make that stuff happen on the fly like I've had to for a long time. So I don't know if my taste in games has changed. I think games have caught up to the kind of games that I want to play.
Yeah.
That would be the better way to say it.
Yeah, I think for me it's been more that I think the core of what I want on a game hasn't really changed. I've just come to have a better understanding of what those things are. For example, my group is playing a Mutants and Masterminds campaign right now. And last night we got into a fight, and Mutants and Masterminds is not as crunchy as the old superhero games like Champions and all that, but it's definitely crunchier than a lot of the narrative-based games I tend to prefer today. And we just got into the fight, and about 2.5 rounds into it, I'm just like, wow, I really wish we could just start narratively diving into this and make things more exciting than I fire off my thing. Okay, they miss. It does this. And it just, like, the combat started dragging because it was meant to be a, you know, like a brawl. And I'm just like, okay, I'm bored because this isn't getting to the cinematic action that I want. And so I think for me, it's not that my tastes have changed. They've just been refined.
It's weird when you describe game situations like that, because like you throw a blast and you miss, and then what, right? Like the reality is like nothing happened, right?
Right.
There was no, I threw a blast and I missed and a building starts falling down, or like a fire hydrant explodes and there's water spraying all over the place, or, you know, whatever.
Right. And it wasn't really the fault of anyone there. It was late. We probably shouldn't have started a combat that late, but it was still just like, oh yeah, that's why I'm not a big fan of this system anymore.
Yeah. Cause it doesn't prompt you to create story, right? You have to work harder to do
right.
it.
Right.
Like you actually have to think as the game master, or as a player, be like, so what happened when I missed? Or like, what does that look like? Or what is the result of the thing that just happened? So yeah, I totally get that.
Now, I kind of already touched on this with my own history, but did you ever have a period of time where you gave up RPGs?
I didn't really give them up as much as I would drift away for other things. So like I played a bunch when I was in the early part of high school, and then I started playing a lot more music because I was a trumpet player in high school. I like playing jazz and whatnot, and also guitar. And then I also started dating. So like relationships and music became way more important to me than Dungeons and Dragons and my friends and hanging out and, you know, that kind of stuff. Then I went to college, and then I started playing some games in college. And then of course I got caught up in all the music stuff again, because music has always been a pretty big part of my life. Not as much these days. That's the thing that is now taking the backseat. I don't play music anymore. So then I drifted away from games to play music again, because the jazz ensemble was on the same night as the gaming club at RIT, which is where I was going to college. Yeah. And then when I went to school for music, all I did was play music and date. Those are the two things that I did. So like I said, then I had a kid, and I played some games, but you know, I had a kid, you know, and then I had an autistic kid. So like, it's hard to always organize and be on top of playing games and whatnot. So I worked a lot. And then I played video games at that point in my time for my sort of outlet and my hobby. So that's how that happened in those periods of times. But since I turned like 27 and started playing D&D again, I really haven't stopped. So there hasn't been a gap.
I think for a lot of us that end up having that gap somewhere in our playing. We still fill it with something. Like, you had the video games. I had the muds and the mushes. You know, there's still something there that's kind of at least feeding a little bit of that, but not necessarily in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a gamer, like, because we're just talking about role-playing games. Like, I've always played board games and video games since I can remember. Like, it's always been a fascination with me. Like, I used to play Intellivision and Atari, right? Like, back in the day. If anybody remembers what an Intellivision is.
I do.
Yeah, there you go. Like, I used to play, like, Night Stalker and Worm Womp and, you know, whatever. Atlantis was, like, the missile command for Intellivision. Stuff like that.
I gotta say, on the Atari, my jam was actually Breakout 2.
Breakout 2? Did you have the twisty pad?
Uh-huh. Had the twisty pad.
That was such a cool thing.
I was damn good at that game.
Yeah, and I used to hang out in video arcades when, you know, video arcades were more than just, like, those coin machines that you would, like, drop coins in and try to get tickets from. When it was used to actually be, like, you could play, like, Donkey Kong Jr., like, on there. Or, like, you know, Mario Brothers. Not Super Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers. Double Dragon. Things like that. So
do you think role-playing games are still enough of a kid's thing that younger kids are jumping in on their own? Or has it become more of an adult hobby that we try and draw kids into?
I have an answer for this, but then I have another answer for this. What age range of kids are we talking about?
Probably middle school.
Yeah, so there is so much stuff out there. I still think there are middle schoolers who are out there playing games and getting into gaming, but there are so many forms of entertainment out there that it's hard for them to be pinned down by this tabletop game experience, mm-hmm. right? Like, because the way that our society works is, like, everybody is a far more, you know, what's the new shiny, what's the new quick thing that I can be entertained by? And role-playing games take a little bit of time and investment, but that, of course, we've been trying to get down to the point where we can play, like, role-playing games at, like, an hour or two, which is really good. So I still think there are kids out there in that age range that are picking up role-playing games and playing them. It's just that there are far more people that are teenagers and adults that are doing so, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I find that I'm not really into fan fiction, but I've been fan fiction adjacent a few different times. And I find there are a lot of kids in that age range that are doing role-playing, but not in the formalized way we do with role-playing games. Like, they create their original characters, their OPs, and they interact with other people with those characters. So they're role-playing, but they're not doing role-playing games, like a formal, there's a book for the rules on how to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when I've met a few, you know, younger adults or older teens who have experience with that, but don't, you know, like, you bring out the role-playing game and they're like, they're interested and they want to see what this is all about. And they have some of the language, but not all of it. So I think there's some of that's eventually leading into role-playing games.
Yeah, yeah. I think the other big thing that's happening is that this hobby, this style of game is now in around its 40th year, mm-hmm. right? Or is it's in the 40 to 50 years?
Yeah, it's between 50 and 45, I think.
Yeah. People who were playing games and learning the games on their own and whatnot are now adults like us, and they have kids, and they're the ones that are teaching their kids how to play.
Mm-hmm.
So this is becoming a family thing instead of just instead of kids that are getting into games with kids like we all were because our parents didn't understand what the heck we were doing because they didn't have any, you know, any basis in it. Now there's a whole group of people out there that are like kids that saw their parents playing these things when they were growing up and kids and parents who are like, I want to play games with my kids.
Yeah.
So, like, that is the other avenue in which kids are now, we're getting, like, the second and third and fourth generation of role players.
Yeah. So what do you have a plan to keep playing this hobby as long as you can?
No, like, I don't have a plan per se. I mean, really, when it comes to a plan for games, like, I mean, we're talking about me. So, like, I co-own a game company. I run a podcast network. I write games for fun and profit. So, I mean, I'll always be playing games until I decide I get sick of this stuff. And even then, I'll just keep playing games because why not? And I'll probably never get sick of this stuff. I've been doing it for about 10 years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, man. I mean, you get together with folks of a certain age and the talk starts coming about, you know, let's start a retirement nursing home community for just gamers so we can all just keep gaming as long as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'd buy into that. But ultimately, it's just, I, you know, now that I'm at this stage of my life and this stage of my life with this hobby, I don't think it'll stop. You know, I it may come a point where maybe I'm not physically capable of doing the gaming conventions like I do now, but I still have a house. I still have a nice big dining room table. I can still invite people over to come play games, you know, and honestly, I have the internet now. It's a whole other topic that we probably can't dive into, but the internet and the connectivity and things like Roll20 and Twitch and all of that make continuing to play games from the comfort of your own home with your friends that are scattered across the country so much easier than it ever could have been before.
Yeah, right? Like, there it is.
Any last thoughts?
No, I mean, it's cool that we're at 50 episodes of the Gnomecast, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, hey, it's 50. We should do something celebrating 50.
That's like 2 years of Gnomecast.
It is. I think our actual first episode dropped 2 years ago in January?
Is that when it is? That's interesting.
I think. It's fascinating. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, I'd have to go and look too. But that's a very nice accomplishment, right? Like about 2 years of podcasting, 50 episodes of podcasting.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's an every other week show, then 2 months from now will be the actual like 2 year anniversary. So
maybe we can do something special for that too.
I mean, you can get into that. Like, I've had that argument too. Like, I know when Misdirected Mark started. It started in March. The first episode, I think, dropped March 3rd, 7 years ago. So, I mean, I just quit trying to figure out like the year anniversaries and just went on the numbers, right? 250, 300, 350. Like, that's good enough.
Well, let's start getting out of here. This show is funded by the Gnome Stew Patreon. You too can become a Patreon backer by following the Patreon link on the Gnome Stew website to the Gnome Stew Patreon. This ad is brought to you by the AARP, Advanced Age Roleplayers Association, where you too can... Wait, what do you mean that's not what it stands for?
I could have swore that's what it stood for.
You mean I've been looking forward to getting that card my entire life and it's just for old people?
Yeah, that's true.
Damn it.
I mean, Bob would be happy if he was here.
If you're enjoying the Gnomecast, you'll probably like many of the other Misdirected Mark shows. Here's another one to check out.
Zhang Yu Hustle. Train alongside fellow students Eric Farmer and Eli Kurtzen. Zhang Yu Hustle. Eric and Eli make their kung fu stronger by watching wuxia films, then discussing how to apply their observations to game design.
You can find all of us at GnomeStew.com, at GnomeStew on Twitter, and the GnomeStew on Facebook. Chris, where else can we find you on the internet?
Well, you can catch me and the network at Misdirected Mark on Twitter. You can always go to the Facebook page or group Misdirected Mark. And really, our G Plus community is a pretty hopping place.
It's a pretty good place. Yeah,
it's got like 440 people in it. Just look for Misdirected Mark.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter at Orikez13. Otherwise, you can find me in all those other places that Chris just mentioned.
You know, I should have been like, Ange, where can we find you on the internet? But I failed miserably. It's even in the show notes. And now that we've made a joke about the show notes, do you think we avoided the stew this week?
I think so. I mean, John can't possibly mean enough to throw us in the stew on an anniversary like this.
I mean, do you really think that's true? Like, it is John we're talking about. He might just do it to be contrary.
We better get out of here pretty quick, huh?
Yeah, let's go. Okay. Let's go. I mean, I think they sealed up that secret passage to the stew pot.
Gnomecast is hosted by Misdirected Mark Productions, the media arm of Encoded Designs.